coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly. Welcome to this week's Worth Doing Badly with me, Jamie Krieger, and David Weber. Today we will look at the lessons for the day of Pentecost, which we will celebrate this coming Sunday. And the readings are Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through 14, Psalm 139 verses 1 through 16, Acts 2 verses 1 through 21, and the gospel lesson is from John chapter 15 verses 26 and 27, and then chapter 16 verse 4b through to 15. And here is David Weber. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Jamie. Pentecost, here in John, Jesus talks about the Spirit of Truth, which reflects what we said previously, is our deepest desire is to know the truth, to have understanding, to recognize that there is a freedom in knowing, and the Spirit would be taking up this task of revealing this truth within the heart and soul of individuals. So the Word became flesh first in God's creation, and then it was repeated in the incarnation. And now, to finish off the work of the Trinity, at Pentecost, the Word would become flesh by the Holy Spirit's advocacy for the truth, working within the soul of single individuals. What truth are we talking about? Well, first, the world, Jesus says, is stuck in sin, which the poet W.B. Yeats imagines as sitting in a foul rag and bone shop and being without a ladder to escape. Here's how Yeats puts our situation. Here's how Yeats defines sin. Now that my ladder's gone, I must lie down where all the ladders start, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. So that's the first truth, Jesus says, that he comes to convict the world of sin, that in other words, there is no escape from, again, what Yeats calls the foul rag and bone shop of this life. The second truth is that we are no longer stuck. Yeah, the world remains a foul rag and bone shop, but contrary to Yeats, we are not without a ladder. That is the point of Jesus' ascension, that he has restored the ladder that lifts us out of this foul rag and bone shop of the world. And the third truth that the Spirit is there to convince us of is that the ruler of this world is already judged. In other words, that the devil who runs this foul rag and bone shop is doing it on borrowed time. And that what will emerge with the advance of time is not an enlargement of the rag and bone shop. No, it is actually time will reveal the fact that Christ's ascension and Pentecost has given us this ladder out of this place. Because these truths, Jesus says, these truths are too hard to bear all at once, the work of the Holy Spirit will be to slowly reveal the truths to each of our souls. And that part of the revelation of the Holy Spirit will be through repentance. In other words, our errors and evil, the Holy Spirit will use in order not to crush us further, but to reveal the truth that sets us free by the forgiveness of sins. So that the Gospel passage outlines the threefold aspect of the truth that the Spirit would be there to convince the world of. Now, in the book of Psalms, the psalmist celebrates a knowledge which is too wondrous for me. I started thinking back, when was the last time I read something or heard something that just seemed so remarkable, so uplifting? This is what the psalmist is talking about. This is the psalm chosen for Pentecost, that somehow, even though the disciples wanted a more decisive salvation that had more material pizzazz to it, the psalmist becomes infatuated that God's greatest work takes place deeply embedded in the heart and soul of the individual. And it's a knowledge which the psalm celebrates as wondrous. And the knowledge is not our consciousness of God, but the fact that God is conscious of us. For those who are intimately known by God, life will not and cannot become a rag and bone shop. Even when life turns dark, as certainly it will, the Holy Spirit's presence means that, says the psalmist, the night will be light for me. So when the Spirit of Truth makes these truths personal, the truths of the miracle of creation and the mystery of redemption, then, the psalm says, when we come to understanding, we are free to confess how awesomely I am set apart, and how wondrous God's acts are, and that my being deeply knows it. This is where the Spirit of Truth works in our spirit to enjoy the effects of God's salvation. The psalmist makes it quite clear. God's greatest works are not shattering and huge. God's greatest work, the thing that gives heaven the most joy, is the deep knowing and rich experience of the truth that we have been set apart by the God of the universe who has redeemed the world. And his intention is to lead us into this joy of the truth through the Holy Spirit. Now, I just love this passage from Ezekiel, because he doesn't talk about a rag and bone shop. He talks about life as a valley of dry bones where all hope is lost. So in other words, if Yeats is right, if there is no ladder of escape, then the fate of us all is this valley of the dry bones, where the only truth that matters is that we must lie down where all ladders start in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. Yet, if Christ's ascension really did unleash the Holy Spirit, then there's the possibility of life even for dead and lifeless bones. There's a promise given to those bones, and with that promise, it may prove false, or if it proves true, it is the one sense of potentiality that we long for. So Ezekiel sees that even in a pile of indistinguishable bones, if God knows that those people, if God has set apart those persons, those bones have much more potential than the eye can see. And it looks as if there is no hope. That is, until the Holy Spirit completes the recreating and redeeming work within each of these former individuals, that the only material part of them left are these dry bones. But they are bones that have a promise to them. And again, the Holy Spirit's work will seem to be very unlikely until it actually proves to be true. And at that point, then God's word will prove to be the ladder that lifts the bones from the valley of death, where they again, and says Ezekiel, they again shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. These aren't just words that move airwaves. These are words with spirit, and where there's the spirit, there's always the possibility of life. And now the actual event in Acts 2. Pentecost unleashed an energy that would not be contained within the soul or within the city or finally even within the cosmos. This explosion of Pentecost had two defining characteristics. It was an explosion of language, which announced that the Holy Spirit's intention had an intellectual side of it. It committed the church to reach all nations through the rational process of learning languages. And the reason for learning languages was in order to reasonably and rationally connect to unknown cultures. So the Holy Spirit's, the Pentecost, is an intellectual movement, but it's also an ecstatic explosion that was mistaken for drunkenness. It indicated that where the Spirit is at work, it's not just dry theory. The Spirit is working at the level of dreams and visions, at the depths of human desire for understanding in life. So this means that Pentecost, in the life of faith, is both a reasonable project and a passionate adventure. Sometimes I just think that, especially having taught my whole life, that we get really infatuated with the reasonable side of things and we lose the joyous, passionate adventure. Or at other times, the reasonable side is put aside and the passionate experience is absent. Now, Pentecost makes it clear that both of those things are going, these fiercely opposite things are going to be contained within the individual soul, so that within each of us, where there is a spirit, there is both, let's call it the intellectual sciences and the expressive arts are at work. Why? Because God's love is to be experienced with our hearts, souls, and minds. We are not just one thing. We are not one big brain. We are not one big emotion. The Holy Spirit's connectingness is unleashing an energy that integrates our lives. And as promised, this explosion of the Spirit would not be contained within the individual soul or the individual city or even within the cosmos. It would change and continues to change everything.
Thank you, David, and thank you for listening. All the podcasts from this series, Worth Doing Badly, are available from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the one that is right for you for free. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other programs on our schedule, write me an email to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. David and I will be back next week at this same time. Stay on for more here on Lutheran Radio UK.